Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
Our Father God, to thee, Author of liberty, to thee we sing.
Message this morning. It's about time for our message. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, and we've been talking about Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 through verse 20, and what we've been talking about is the whole armor of God. We've been talking about the fact that if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're in a battle, aren't we? And we sing all the songs, Onward Christian Soldier, and Standing on the Promises and all those songs, just like we sang this morning, that we're standing on that rock. As we look at the whole armor of God, he says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord in the power of what? His might, right? That he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil. He says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and powers and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. And he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, by which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he talks about praying, but we won't get that far this morning unless something happens different than I'm thinking. But remember, he says, stand strong in the Lord in the power of his might, right? He says, stand. And then he says, be strong in the Lord. And then he says that you may be able to stand against the schemes. And then he says over there in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand when somebody comes at you. You have to withstand them, right? And then he says, having done all, to stand. And then he says, stand therefore. In other words, what is he saying? So you don't have to take the battle to the devil, but the devil's coming after you. And what you do is you have to withstand. It's sort of like the defense and the offense, right? I'm more of a, I'm not keeping up with a whole lot of sports, but what does he say in the football? That the defense tries to keep the offense from scoring, right? And their job is just to hold that line, right? Well, guess what? God's already won the victory. And he says that we just need to toe the line, and we need to keep the devil, the offense, from scoring on us. And so our job is to stay on our side of the line and to not let the devil score on us. So he told us about having your waist girded about with truth. And I gave out some of these pictures last week, and if you lost yours or left it in the book, we can give you another one. But he talks about that girdle goes around. It's a belt of truth, and it holds everything together. It holds the sword in place. It straps over the top, sort of like a suspender, but a single one. And it, your sword is strapped to your belt to hold it in place, and it holds your breastplate in place, and then it holds everything together. And so the truth is what holds everything together, right? We talked about that last week. And then he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And remember, we were talking about knowing God's truth last week. We have to know God's truth. We have to be able to do what? Stand on the promises, right? And so we need to know the truth. We got to know that truth. We got to saturate our mind with this truth. What did he say? Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Jesus is what? The way, the truth, and the life. So today we're going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness, and we'll see how much further we'll get today. Hopefully we'll get the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace at least. But he talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does he say here? He says, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we know that when Jesus Christ forgives us and saves us, we are what? Righteous with God, right? We are righteous with God because God makes us what? Righteous in His eyes. Now, there's a point at which God is righteous and He gives us His righteousness. As we always say that the Bible calls us saints, and we are saints in the eyes of God positionally, but we got a long way to go practically, right? Because the moment you trust Christ, there's a battle, there's a war to begin to live righteously. And that's really what he's talking about here. That breastplate was the part that was up under the belt, and usually it'd be like a long linen shirt, or maybe it was a mail, one of those chain mail things, and one of these shirts. What they would do is they would put a lot of the horns, they would slice up the horns of an animal real thin, and they would attach them to that shirt. And what that shirt would do would protect the vital areas, right? You know, if you go to battle, what do we have today? The police have what? Bulletproof vests, right? Now, their bulletproof vests don't go all the way down to here, but this breastplate would actually kind of come down to here to where your bowels were at. It would come right down to here to the top of your thighs. They were made of different things, but basically they go all the way from your neck all the way down to here. Now, what's the reason for this breastplate? What do we have here? We've got a heart, and then we've got our bowels, right? If you get hit in those areas, what happens? You're pretty well out of it, right? I mean, you can hit a guy in the arm sometimes or hit him somewhere else, but if you hit him in the vitals, he's out of the battle because he's going to die. He's pretty well out of it. What is he talking about? The breastplate covered two vital areas. It covered the heart, and it covered the bowel. Now, if any of y'all remember your Bible, what does it talk about? It says that out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, right? That the heart is the thinking aspect of a man. That the heart in Hebrew means the mind, right? He says, as a man what? Thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, we don't think in our heart, but in the Hebrew way of thinking, in the Jewish thinking, the what would go on was the heart was the mind, right? He says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? But the heart is the thinking process, the will, that area that where we think. And then the second part that he wants to protect is our bowels. And I know in a couple of places, I know in Philippians, he talks about loving us with the bowels of Christ, the heart of Christ. The bowels speak of our emotions. So the devil wants to attack us in two places, right? Where does he want to attack us? He wants to attack us in the mind, and then he wants to attack us in the emotions, right? If he can get us not thinking right, he can get us what? All messed up emotionally, and then he can get us not acting right. And so he wants to mess us up in two areas, the feelings, the thinking, and the emotions. And so that's where he wants to attack us. So he wants to feed us with false doctrine, feed us with false teaching, feed us with all these wrong things, and then he wants to attack us in our feelings. So what happens when the devil comes to Eve and he says, did God say, right? First he attacks the truth, and he kind of gets her to doubting, right? To thinking wrongly, and then he messes with her emotions. Because see, if the devil can get us to thinking that God's cheating us, that he's mistreating us, that he's abusing us, you know, that's what he likes to do, doesn't he? He likes to come in and say, well, you know, you've been living for God, and you've been doing this, and you've been doing that. Well, how's that working for you? You know, look at your life. Look at everything that's going wrong. Look how crazy things are. is God taking care of you? And he kind of wants to mess with us, right? But you know what? We have to, that's why we first of all have to have that truth put in place, right? Once we have the truth of God in our mind and we stand on those promises, then what do we have to do? Each and every day we have a moment by moment daily decision whether we want to live for God each day and each moment, right? Isn't that what he says? You know, I need thee every hour in that song, the prayer, you know, I need thee. And I always say I want to sing, I need thee every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year. You know, because it's a constant day by day by day choice. Are we going to serve God or are we going to do the wrong things? And sometimes it's just a matter of just making a wrong decision, letting the devil mess with our thoughts and our minds. The breastplate is really holy living. And if you don't live a holy life, we end up losing out in life because we don't get the best things that God has for us. That's one of the things I try to explain to people is that, you know, holy living is not just giving up things for God, but holy living is getting the best from God, right? Because when God takes something away from you, he gives you something better, right? I mean, he does. He takes that sin away, but he gives you something better in place of it. And so Paul over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he talks that, you know, that I may be found in him and his righteousness, right? That I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be righteous in his eyes. And then he talks about I'm pressing towards the goal, towards the prize, and towards the upward calling in God and Christ Jesus. He says, I'm giving it all I got, right? That I'm not just letting go and letting God. But every day, every minute, every second, I'm making a choice to serve God, a choice to not do the things that the world wants us to do. There's one more verse that I wanted to read, or a couple of verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. He says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. So he says, abstain, or don't let those fleshly lusts which war against your soul. What are the fleshly lusts? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? Those are the things that God wants to keep us from doing. As we look, the next verse here, what does he say? He says that we have on the breastplate of righteousness, that we have his righteousness, but then we also live righteously. And that's that day by day by day, daily decision to be a holy person. That's what we're supposed to do. What's the next thing he says? Verse 13, and having your shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is he saying? He says your feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Really what he's saying here is it means just to be ready or equipped, that your feet should be ready by being shod, by having shoes on, right? To be equipped, to be prepared. That's what he's saying here. So let's talk about the gospel of peace here. And if anybody were to see Mr. Peter's flip-flops and sandals today, he's kind of got something like that was kind of what the Romans would be wearing, right? And I don't have the pictures handed out again today, but they would have this thick-soled rubber shoe that was more like a sandal or a boot. But what they would have is down at the bottom, it would have all these straps, and he's got several straps on his shoe, and it would wrap around the ankle, and it wrap around the foot several times. And the way it would wrap is it would wrap securely, right? So that when you were walking, when you were standing, when you were marching, whenever you were doing whatever you were doing, as you were fighting, maybe trying to climb up on a rock or trying to go up a hill or down a hill, you don't want on a pair of flip-flops or something that's going to slide off your feet, do you? You want a pair of shoes that's got some traction to it. You know, today you can walk in the store, and I hadn't even been in there lately, but you can walk into the shoe store, and they got so many different pairs of running shoes, a pair of shoes for this and a pair of shoes for that. I looked the other day, and I said, I need something in my shoes to help me some padding or something. And my wife says, well, you know, there's the padding place over there, Dr. Scholl's, I guess I'll mention it. But I walk over there and I look, and the thing where you stand on it tells you what kind of pads you need or whatever. That thing was like $50 a piece. I'm like, man, that's a whole nother pair of shoes. I don't need something that bad. But you know, we need to have something on our feet that's going to help us, right? And what I'm trying to say here is, you know, when the guys play baseball and they play football, and even the golfers and all the people that play sports today, they've got all kinds of different shoes to help them get traction, right? Yep. Because when they're playing, when you're fighting especially, you don't want to be standing there fighting and all of a sudden you slip. That's the end of you, right? I mean, if you're standing there and all of a sudden you slip, you're off balance. The guy's going to get you, and that's the end of the fight for you. That he's going to stab you, he's going to whack you with his sword, or he's going to get you somehow, some way, right? You want to make sure that you got the right kind of shoes on, because the strongest man in battle, if he can't walk, if he can't stand, he's useless, right? I mean, you can't fight nobody from down on your knees. If you're not mobile, if you can't move around. Plus what they would do too, today, you know, we've got the minefields, and even in the old days, I guess, probably some of these people we used to fight, they would put sharp spears in the ground, and what these people would do is they'd put sharp sticks in the ground pointed towards the enemy, and if the enemy stepped on that and it went through his shoe into his foot, he was incapacitated. He couldn't move like he was supposed to, could he? You have to have on the right kind of shoes if you want to fight in a battle. And the kind of shoes that he's talking about here, he's talking about the gospel of peace. Now, we talk about the gospel of peace, and I know some people have talked about this being preaching the gospel. Because the gospel does what? The gospel brings what? Peace, right? And so, but he's not really talking about preaching peace, but what he's talking about is living in the peace that God has given you. Exactly. Listen to what he says here, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we're standing in His grace. We're standing in His glory. We're standing and we have access to Him. And so we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Philippians chapter 4 talks about that, right? That don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about not only the gospel which gives us peace, but he's talking about living in that peace. See, the Bible tells us, remember what we talked about over there in Ephesians chapter 2? He said we were enemies, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we walked according to the course of this world, and we were sons of disobedience. Romans chapter 5, the chapter I was just in, talks about we were enemies of God. It talks about that we were sinners and enemies. And you know what? The moment we trusted Jesus Christ, that war ended. Did you know that? Because guess whose side all of a sudden we're on, and who's on our side? Jesus Christ is on our side, and we're on His side, right? That's what he's talking about here, that we're living in the gospel of peace. We can live at peace we can live with that peace because guess what? We know who's on our side, right? And so what does it say in verse 14? Stand therefore. Remember, this is standing in what you have. Not fighting, not going forward. The way you fight, the way you battle, is by not giving up ground. Does that make sense to you? The way you battle, the way you fight, is by standing your ground, withstanding, standing, and having done all to stand. And so you're standing on the promises, standing in God's peace. You're standing on the truth. You're standing on all these things because the devil wants to come in and mess with our mind and mess with our emotions and get us off track so that we will do stupid stuff. If he can get us to feeling like, you know, God's not taking care of us. And here's another side of that. If he can get us messed up emotionally with being anxious and all this, you know. And what does he say on in Philippians 4? He says, and the God of peace will be with you and near you. He says, you know, he'll give you that peace that passes all understanding. It'll guard your what? Your hearts and your minds. And then he talks about the fact that if you'll think on whatever's lovely and pure and right and virtuous and good and these things, that the God of peace will be with you and he will be near you. When we stand in that good news of peace with God and we know that God's on our side, guess what? We can stand in place. We know that the battle is ours, right? I mean, it's like, you know, cheating. And I heard about a little boy was reading a book and he was reading it and he was getting close to the end and his mom was calling him to supper and he got all excited. He didn't want to go. She said, son, you got to come to supper. He said, hold on a minute. And he turned to the back of the book because he couldn't stand it. He just had to find out what happened. Who won, right? And that's all we got to do is turn to the back of our book, our Bible, and we see that God wins, right? That everything's going to turn out just like he says it will. Colossians 1:20 says he made peace through the blood of the cross and by him to reconcile all things unto himself. When we stand that firm, then we can say, Satan, give me all you got. I got these shoes that anchor me in the ground, and I'm immovable. Remember what we said in 1 Corinthians 15:58? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, right? So no matter what the Lord, what Satan brings, I can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, let's see if we can cover faith here. All right. He says, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So what is faith? Believing God no matter what, right? That's really what faith is. It's like a shield. And remember the shield. Let's describe the shield a little bit. First of all, they'd have like a 4x2 shield. Now back in the day, people weren't really big, so back in the day, those would cover up most of the person. And they even had little hooks on the sides of them so that you had your shield and the guy next to you had his shield. And they would interlock like this. So basically what you would do is you'd have a wall of shields and everybody's shield would interlock like that. And you'd walk along as like an impregnable wall. And everybody would have their shield hooked together. And the people on the other side, what are they doing? He's talking about being able to quench the fiery darts. The people on the other side, they'd take a cotton ball or some kind of something, a torch, something. They put some kind of tar or something like that on there that burned and would splatter. And they'd put it in an arrow or a spear or something. They would shoot it or throw it at you. And if that spear, that arrow hit your shield, what would it do? If it didn't hit the shield and it hit you and it would splatter all over you, begin to burn you, or it burned whatever it was thrown on. And they would also, a lot of times they would cover this shield with, it would be a piece of wood or something, but they would also cover it with some leather, and then they would soak that leather down good so that when something hit it, guess what? It wouldn't catch on fire, right? And so what is the devil doing? He's shooting fiery darts at us. What are those fiery darts? Temptation, right? The temptation to do anything besides what God wants us to do and tells us to do in the Word of God. And so the shield is that which we hold up in front of us. They're temptations, and that's all it is. Satan fires shafts of impurity, selfishness, doubt, fear, disappointment, lust, greed, vanity, covetousness. It all comes down to the lust of the flesh. If it feels good, do it. Lust of the eyes, I see it, I want it. And the pride of life, look at me, look who I am. And what does he want to do? He wants to get out of us some kind of non-Christian, ugly response instead of a Christ-like response, right? That's what he wants to get out of us. And he says we need the shield of faith because sometimes it just rains temptation, doesn't it? I mean, everywhere you look, especially today, all you got to do is turn on your TV. I remember when you used to could turn your TV on and, you know, when the commercials came on, you could just flip the commercials. I mean, flip, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about the commercials so much, but you just flip the TV and not watch the shows that were bad. But now they take the worst of every single show and they put it into commercials, and you just have to constantly keep from allowing that stuff into your head, into your mind, into billboards, and everywhere you turn. And so remember, these guys have got their shield of faith. And did you know that four times the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith? Did you know that? Four times. It says in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, he says, the just shall live by faith. What does he want us to do, people? Live by faith, right? And it says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. And he says that faith is knowing, having that confidence that even though you don't see, that God's promised and one day he's going to give what he promised, right? And that we have to believe that he's a rewarder of those who believe in him. That one day, that even though we don't see it today, that we're going to get what God has promised us. Because you know what? He's promised happening. We got to stand those promises. And so that shield, when the devil's firing all those darts at you and saying, like he said to Eve, he said, did God say? Did God say? Did God say? He even attacked Jesus, didn't he? And if he attacked Jesus, guess what? He'll attack us, won't he? He'll attack every single one of us. And so when God says four times, the just shall live by faith, then guess what? We need to realize that faith is, you could put it real simple. Faith is just doing what? God said it, and I believe it. The Bible says God said it, and it's up to us to believe it. That's faith. Just trust in God. We have to be like those little children, right? He said, if you don't even have faith like a little child, you're in trouble. Because what does a little child do? I've told y'all about the kids in the past, and y'all probably had them. That my kids, when they were younger, I mean, I wouldn't even be looking at them, and all of a sudden they'd be jumping on me. And expecting me to catch them, right? And I'm not even looking at them, but all of a sudden they're jumping on me from off a chair or a couch or somewhere, and all of a sudden they're like, jumping on you. And they just trust you so much that even though you're not looking at them, they're expecting, catch me, Daddy, you know, and that's what God says. He says, I'm here and I'll catch you. You can just jump into my arms and I'm going to catch you. That's what he says, you know, that just trust me. I'm here for you. No matter what happens, no matter what you go through, you know, so the devil wants us to believe that that God doesn't keep his word. The Bible tells us that by two immutable things, he promised. He promised by himself. And when he made that covenant with Abraham, he put Abraham to sleep, didn't he? And he promised by himself. He promised, and there's nothing greater than God promising by his word. Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. And so long as we keep our shield up, we're going to win. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And so even though doubts and concerns and anxieties and problems and struggles and trials and persecution and temptation comes along, we got to trust in God that He's, what did He say He was? The bread of life. That we don't need anything else. And see, that's the problem with so many people today, is we think that we need something else besides God. You know, as one man said, I can't remember who it is, God is enough. Is God enough? Yes, He is absolutely enough. We don't need anything else. He is the bread of life. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's our rock, our fortress, our high tower, our strength. And so when it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." You resist the devil by being steadfast in faith. There's that same word, steadfast. That means to stand firm, right? To be steadfast. We don't let the devil... See, you know how the devil, the lion, wins? He scares his prey right before he attacks. He roars, right? And then he scares his prey, and his prey kind of gets, I guess, freaked out or whatever you call it, and kind of a lot of times will panic, and it makes it easier for the lion to get him, right? But you know what? If we don't panic, if we continue to trust in God, you know, we're in good shape. I saw a video the other day on the thing. It doesn't often happen like this. He was over to Africa or somewhere, and these lion cubs were attacking these ox or something, and attacked one of them and was pulling him down. And one came along and he threw one up in the air, and the other one, he before he knew it, he jabbed him in the side and threw him. He gored both of those lions before they even knew what happened. And you know what? That's what we have to do with God. We just have to realize that if we let God take care of them, God's going to take care of it. So he says over in Genesis 15, verse 1, he says, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield." Psalm 46, "God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble." And then Proverbs says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and safe." Psalm 84 says, "The Lord is a shield." And so He wants to bless us. He wants to give us the victory. And so don't let the devil get you on the run. Don't let him make you afraid. But just remember that with God on your side, you can win every single time, right? You don't have to give in. You don't have to fall. You don't have to slip. You don't have to worry. He says, don't be anxious. Don't worry. But trust in the Lord and let Him be your shield. Let Him be your righteousness. And then add your righteousness, not your righteousness, but become righteous, because once you trust Christ, you can become righteous, right? The Bible says in Romans 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. But the moment He gives us His righteousness and saves us, at that moment we can become righteous because we have His power, His strength. It's the Holy Spirit power, you know, and He talks about that power that's within us, Ephesians 3:20, that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to His power that works in us mightily. Did you get that? That He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to His power that works in us mightily. So we're working with God and He's working with us, and His power is what gives us the strength to live the Christian life. And so today we need to make sure that we've got on the right equipment. We need the whole armor of God. We need God's peace. We need God's shield. We need God's faith, the faith of God, and trust in Him no matter what comes our way, because the devil's roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So let's pray and then we'll close today. Father, we just thank you that you've given us not just some of the armor of God, But he says that we have all this armor. It's one of the things that I've kind of moved over, but he says we have all this armor. We already have it. We don't have to take it up. But the next things that we talk about, he says he's going to talk about taking up the sword of the Spirit and taking up the helmet of salvation and taking up some of these things. But we have these things already. We have your peace. We have your joy. We have your righteousness as a shield. We have the belt of truth because you've given us your truth. Thy word is truth. Father, sanctify us by thy truth. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you here today, I pray that you would just help them to realize that on their own they're not righteous, but they need the righteousness of Christ, and they could cry out and say, Lord Jesus, give me your righteousness. Save me, forgive me, because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and he died in my place, and there's nothing I can do to get to heaven, but Jesus paid it all. Father, just help us to trust you, to stand and to stand firm and to be strong in the Lord and to withstand and having done all to stand. And thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing number Onward Christian Soldier. That's a good one.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved. Be loved to me.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And he is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services, and so we go out to them, and it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.